Good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath, and welcome to this divine service. And good to see your faces, and smiling faces, actually. Yeah. So, yes, Franz. So, yes, we're going to study today. It's very touchy subject, so that will be the nature of the human nature of Christ. Okay, I make courage to put through this one because it's always there will be a big controversy with this thing when I think about 10 years ago, I presented this subject, but now I modified it a bit and look into it deeply. We can fit so much because there is a lot of scriptures and verses, spirits of prophecy to study. So bear with me, and also that we can put the study with no any controversy, that everyone can understand. So let us bow our heads first for a prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this gathering, for this congregation that is your church. People belongs to you, we pray. And also we pray for the Holy Spirit to open our mind and our heart to what is going to be presented, this touchy subject, as we've been warned already about this subject, we pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are our God. And we thank you for loving us and gave us your Son, Jesus, that he came on this earth as one of us. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, from Bible Commentary, 1129 page. Well, I'm using a bit of the spirit of prophecy. So bear with me about that, and also the scriptures. So Bible Commentary, 5th Bible Commentary, 1129, or Review and Herald, October 29, 1895. There is no one who can explain the mystery of the incarnation of Christ. God gave, that's what it's... Sister White saying. And God gave inspiration and explanation to the prophets in various parts of the Bible. Oh well, the Bible is all written by through the prophets, spoken by God to them. But on this subject, God never revealed it to no one. So yet we know that he, Jesus, came to this earth and lived as a man among men. The man, Christ Jesus, was not the Lord God Almighty, yet Christ and the Father are one. The deity, or deity, did not sink under the agonizing torture of Calvary. Okay? And also from the same page, I'm not too sure if you can read that. I think it's mentioned here. 5th Bible Commentary 112, actually 28. Adam was the first that was created as pure, sinless being without a taint of sin upon him. He was in the image of God. He could fall, and he did fall through transgressing. Because of sin, his posterity was born with inherent propensities of disobedience. But Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son of God. He took upon himself human nature and was tempted in all points as human nature is tempted. He could have sinned. He could have fallen. But not for one moment was there in him evil propensity. All right? Evil tendency. And another one from the same Bible commentary. We got, she's saying here, be careful, exceedingly careful, as to how you dwell upon the human nature of Christ. Do not set him before the people as a man with propensities of sin. Okay? So we have to be careful how we present Jesus to others. The incarnation of Christ has ever been and will ever remain a mystery. That which is revealed is for us and for our children, but let every human being be born from the ground, making Christ altogether human, such as one as ourselves. For it cannot be. The exact time when humanity blended with divinity, it is not necessary for us to know. We are to keep our feet on the rock, Christ Jesus, as God revealed it in humanity. Okay? So we have to be careful how we present Christ. He was born as a man like us. He took our infirmities, everything. He was subject to the nature, our nature, but he never sinned. And also another another one here. Let every human be warned from the ground of making Christ altogether human. Okay? He was altogether human, but in the same time, he had the divinity in him. God and himself, they were not separated. And this is another one. That's what we have to be careful. Avoid every question in relation to the humanity of Christ, which is labeled to be misunderstood. Okay? So we have to avoid certain questions in the humanity of Christ. Because if it's misunderstood, that will be the work of the devil. Because it's in here, I will mention it again, the devil, Satan, doesn't want us to know the humanity of Christ. He doesn't want us to know. And so, we have 100% divine, 100% the nature, 100% human. Okay? The humanity of Christ, the nature, human nature of Christ, the divinity was combined with humanity which for us is too much to comprehend, as I have mentioned above. The capability of our mind is not in a stage to understand such spiritual attributes, because our spiritual standards are not high enough to discern this mystery, the mystery of the incarnation of Christ. This subject, it will be studied throughout eternity, the incarnation of Christ. Christ object lesson, page 114. Human being would be altogether different from what they are now. For by exploring the mines of truth, man would be ennobled. The mystery of redemption, the incarnation of Christ, his atoning sacrifice would not be as they are now, not clear in our minds. So we would be altogether different if we explore the minds, the hidden treasures, the wealth in the Holy Scriptures. And what do we find in the minds? We find the richest sources of wealth. Exploring the ennobled in this mystery. Because we don't understand that, as I said above, because of our poor spiritual standard. This mystery is not clear enough for us to comprehend. This mystery is beyond our understanding because of our spiritual condition. How the humanity of Christ combined with his divinity was hidden in his humanity. How he was born as a helpless babe with no powers, in the same time the divinity as God was in him, because the divinity could not be separated. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He has no beginning and no end. Turn to Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 8. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 8. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Who being in the form of God. Sorry. No, it's not there. Being in the form of God. The form of God, the inner qualities of his divine nature that was manifested outwardly by his actions, and whatever he done was divinely. Indeed, he was divine and he lived divinely. 4,000 years later, after the fall of Adam, Christ was born of a woman. She was subject to the law. She was under the law. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 reads, Mary, the mother of Jesus, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, under the law, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Jesus was born by a woman that was under the law. She had to offer sacrifices for her sins. She wasn't divine, but God used her to be in the same time a holy woman that his son can be born through her. So God sent his son to take our nature and bear our likeness and become like us in every way, even to taking our sinful hereditary, the carnal nature that we inherit from Adam. Don't take me wrong when I say the carnal nature, because I had some controversy with this one. Our infirmities. But the carnal is the flesh. You find it in the concordias, what we have. So turn with me to Romans 8:3, chapter 8, verse 3. Romans chapter 8 verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. And also 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Can we understand that? God was manifested in the flesh. Christ himself was manifested in the flesh. Paul magnified this verse, the great mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh. Paul here challenged any critics that in their opinion Jesus took the nature of the unfallen Adam. The unfallen nature of Adam. And the Holy Scripture spells it out that God was manifested in the flesh in the likeness of sinful flesh. Okay? In the likeness of sinful flesh. How can anyone teach that Jesus took the nature of the unfallen Adam? It is contrary to the scriptures. It is another doctrine of the devil, and whoever, I'm afraid, teach this doctrine, he is a disciple of the devil, because the scripture says that, tells us so. And some other domination I won't mention, especially main one, teaches that Jesus was like any man on earth, subject to our infirmities, but he exercised all his powers because he was as God walking on earth. Okay? He was God working on earth, but his humanity was his divinity was hidden in his humanity. He came without powers, the powers that he used only from the Father above. Not my will, but your will. He was obedient even to the to the death of the cross. So I can't understand why they say that. He was God walking on earth. That's what they say. Deny his humanity, at the same time believe that Jesus was a man, as a man. And what a confusion. Even when I was growing up, I was confused with that. You know? If he is a God, he is a God on earth. But he came as a God on earth through Jesus, by he hid his divinity. It was hidden through his humanity. Christ was a descendant of Abraham. Abraham lived 2,000 years. Lived 2,000 years after the fall of Adam. And Abraham inherited the fallen nature of Adam. And also Christ inherited the same nature. He was subject to sin, but he never sinned. A perfect example for us that like him, we should, we can live a perfect life. Okay, can you read it at the back? No. All right, I read it for you. No pollution of sin received by as result of his incarnation. No repentance needed by submit to rite of baptism. There was no need for him to be baptized. Can you understand? It's for our example. Desire of Ages 266 and pages 110. So, 10 with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Okay, and we read how God never leaves any trace of doubt in our minds in such a subject, a study like this. The Word of God, the Holy Scripture, confirms that Jesus took the nature of the fallen Adam. I think everyone can see that, huh? Seed of Abraham and not of angels. Hebrews 2:16 and Galatians 3:16. Hebrews 2:16, for verily in high degree, in truth, beyond doubt, he, Jesus, took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. And this verse, it wipes out the new theology, the new teaching, the wrong doctrine that Jesus took the nature of the unfallen Adam. The Word of God stands out above all things that are contrary to the Scriptures, to the law and the testimony. If they not speak according to this word, there is no light in them. Isaiah 8 verse 20. And what is the nature of the angels? The nature of the angels is the nature of no sin, the undefiled nature. And where Lucifer and his evil angels sinned, there was no more place for them in the courts of heaven. So they fought the angels between them, and the evil ones were cast down on this earth. So Paul in this verse telling us that Jesus did not take the nature, the uncorrupt nature of the angels, but the corrupt nature of Abraham, the carnal nature of Abraham, Abraham's seed. All right? The carnal, I repeat again, I'm talking about the flesh, as Jesus had as a man, like men. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And also Galatians chapter 3 verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. He said not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. And the book of the genealogy of Christ states that Christ was born from the line of David, a descendant of David, the son of David and of Abraham, the seed of Abraham. David lived 3,000 years after the fall of Adam. In the first chapter of Matthew, we have listed all the generations from Abraham till Jesus was born. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, Paul confirms that the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was of the seed of David, according to the flesh. In verse 4, and declares to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Turn to Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. Revelation 22, verse 16. Okay, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the church. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. So this is confirmed that Jesus was the spring, offspring of David. So Jesus himself saying that he was from the offspring of David, he was born in the flesh from the fallen nature of Adam that David inherited. And now from early writings, page 150 and 153, we're not going to read all the passages, just a clip from it. Satan told his angels that when Jesus should take fallen man's nature, he could overpower him and hinder the accomplishment of the plan of salvation. And also from Desire of Ages, page 49, yet unto the world, when Satan claimed dominion, God permitted his son to come, a helpless babe, subject to the weaknesses of humanity. He permitted him to meet peril in common with every human soul, to fight the battle as every child of humanity must fight it, as at the risk of failure and eternal loss. Do you understand that? So if Jesus had failed, he submitted to the devil temptations. Failed. God knew all that, But he sent it, his son, at the risk of failure and eternal loss. Even the son, Jesus, as human, would have been lost, and even the entire race would have been lost. Now, okay, let me see what we've got here first. Yes, if Jesus yielded to temptations, the human race would have perished forever, and also God himself would have lost his son. And he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. This one, to verify what we said, divine wrath would have come upon him, upon Jesus, if he had sinned, Second Selected Messages 256, needed no repentance, died as a guilty sinner. Desire of Ages 1:1-64. Need no repentance, but he died as a sinner. I mean, for us, how we can understand it, you know, because Jesus did it. And to give us that example that we can be like him. Repented and be righteous. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but as in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:15. Okay, and this, what we read now, that he was tempted in all points as we are, but without sin. Unexplained mystery, that could be tempted in all points and yet be without sin. Fifth Bible Commentary 1:1-8-9. So that's a mystery for us too. As I said before, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our feeling, our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are tempted, yet without sin. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Hebrews 2:17. And for this reason, he, Christ, is not ashamed to call them brethren, because he became one like them, subject to any experience as they experience. If Christ had not really taken our nature, he would have not experienced suffering, no reproach. He would had all the powers. Also, there was no need to die the death of shame. And we should not believe any teaching that Christ did not come in our flesh. And every spirit that confessed not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of Antichrist. 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. And as we learned from this study, the Holy Scriptures are very clear about this subject. The Word of God points out verily that Christ took the nature of the fall of fallen Adam, and also condemns anyone that disbelieve or teach that Jesus did not come in the flesh. And it says there, this has the spirit of the Antichrist. Every Christian believes that Christ died to save the human race, to redeem every man from the slavery of sin. Every Christian should believe that. And also from before that, I put this one here. Did not became sinner by his incarnation. Sons and Daughters 25. Had no evil propensity, no taint of corruption, no inclination to sin. Okay, that's what it means, propensity. There he had no inclination to sin, no tendency to sin. That was from a Fifth Bible Commentary 1128. So the humanity of Christ reached from, this is from Review and Herald, August 4, 1874. The humanity of Christ reached to the very depths of human wretchedness and identified itself with wickedness, weaknesses and necessities of fallen men. While his divine nature grasps the eternal, Christ's work was to reconcile men to God through his human nature, and God to men through his divine nature. So, with his human nature, he brought man to himself. Okay? And with his divine nature, he brought man to God. It had to be someone with a royal blood to intercede for man. Only Christ could regain what Adam had lost. It had to be someone like Christ with the same degree to satisfy God's anger for men because men sin. Alright? No one could take part of the redemption of men. No angels, man couldn't save himself, because it was in the pit. So it was only between the Godhead the salvation of men and no one else. With a high degree, with a royal blood. From First Selected Messages, page 271 to 280. As I said, we're not going to read it all, just a few paragraphs from it. Christ knew that Adam in Eden, listen to this, with his superior advantages, might have withstood the temptations of Satan and conquered him. He also knew that it was not possible for men out of Eden, separated from the light and love of God, since the fall, to resist the temptations of Satan in his own strength. Man wasn't able to do that. In order to bring hope to man and save him from the complete ruin, he humbled himself to take man's nature, that with his divine power combined with the human, he might reach man where he is, he obtains for the fallen sons and daughters of Adam that strength which is impossible for them to gain for themselves, that in his name they might overcome the temptations of Satan. So, there is no doubt about it. We have no strength to overcome Satan, temptation, unless we ask for that extra power. And the only power we have is Christ Jesus. That Christ Jesus had fought him, fought the devil, and even overcome him in the desert, and most especially at the cross, that he took the dominion from him that he rightfully took from Adam. So Jesus knew that man is not able to overcome Satan's temptations by his own strength. Christ could weigh that the powers of men are limited to overcome Satan and his temptation. Christ knew that the helpless man needed some other powers beyond his own power to match the powers of Satan, to match the power of the evil foe. From Second Selected Messages, page 280, the exalted Son of God, in assuming humanity, draw himself nearer to men by standing as the sinner's substitute. He identifies himself with the suffering and afflictions of men. He was tempted in all points as man is tempted, that he might know how to succor those who would be tempted. Christ overcame in the sinner's behalf. And do not misunderstand these words. That Christ overcame in the sinner's behalf, that we can help. Christ became in the sinner's behalf that we can keep sinning, that's more or less a question. Because Christ came to our aid and overcame for us on our behalf. Okay? So we don't think that because Christ overcame on our behalf, there is no need, we keep sinning. Okay? I think I will analyze this in here. So Christ overcame in the sinner's behalf to show men, as likewise he was a man, that also man can overcome on his behalf. Christ's behalf. Okay, did you understand that? From manuscript 1, 1895. The Lord Jesus came to our world not to reveal what God could do, but what a man could do through faith in God's power to help in every emergency. Now, understand that? Good. So, let us put the last one here. Oh, we said it already. No passion for sin. He didn't have any passion to sin. No propensities or no tendency for sin. No inclination for sin. Jesus took upon himself our infirmities, griefs and sorrows, reproach and physical pain. He was made like unto his brethren. He was tempted as we are tempted, all in all points, yet without sin. And from manuscript 16:18-19, those who claim that it was not possible, listen to this one, possible for Christ to sin, cannot believe that he is really took upon himself human nature. So it was possible that Christ could sin, but he did not sin. And it here say, the ones that do not believe that he really, Christ, really took upon himself human nature, he really did. Because everything had, the sin of Adam was made by men, so the penalty had to be paid by a man, not by an angel, and not by God himself. Remember, Christ was, his divinity was in him, could never be separated. So, but he came on this earth as a man, likeness in the likeness of men, so the penalty had to be paid by a man, because the sin was made by a man. When the angels sinned, their sin was, the sin was of the angels. Okay? And God had to punish the angels himself. There was no intervene for the angels. But for the humans, God intervened and he had to pay the penalty himself. From Desire of Ages, page 311, 312. As the Son of God was perfect in his life, so his followers are to be perfect in their lives. Christ is the ladder that Jacob saw, the base resting on the earth, and the topmost round reaching to the gate of heaven, to the very threshold of glory. If that ladder had failed by a single step of reaching the earth, we should have been lost. Okay? But Christ reaches us where we are. He took our nature and overcame that we, through taking his nature, might overcome. Made in the sinful, in the likeness of sinful flesh, he lived a sinless life. Romans 8:3. And brothers and sisters, we come into the end of this lesson of the humanity of Christ. Jesus came on this earth as human as you and I. He lived a perfect life with no sin. He took the sinful nature, but lived a perfect life to show us that we too, through his example, we also can live a perfect life, reach that perfection before God and resist all temptation through the divine power. Satan doesn't want that you and I know the truth, especially on a subject like this, the nature of Christ. He doesn't want us to know it. Satan wants us to be captive, to have full control of our minds. He brings along theories, new ideas to confuse our mind. And especially of the unfallen nature of Adam. Satan wants us to believe that. And if this is so, Jesus took the unfallen nature of Adam. There was no need for Jesus to die on the cross. Jesus didn't die to save himself, but to save man from the fallen state, from the utter destruction. And I put this point to you, before you. If Jesus came in the unfallen nature of Adam, tell me, who saved Adam then? Because Jesus came for the sick and not for the righteous. Is this the scripture said so? Adam fell in a pit in the Garden of Eden, and we know that he died spiritually. There was no way to escape from an escape for him. He was cast out from the Garden of Eden. The gates were shut on him. The angel stood by the gates to protect the tree of life. Man was lost forever. But had to be Christ, someone worthy with the same nature of man, to get up from that pit where Adam fell. Christ's fell in that pit, and got up and carry on where Adam left. What Adam could not do, Christ had to do. Resist temptation and pay the price. And brothers and sisters, Satan brings new ideas and new theories. Do not believe them. Check it out with the scriptures and spirits of prophecy. Do not believe anyone that preached to you or anyone says to you that Jesus took the nature of the unfallen Adam. This is a heresy, not according to the word of God. This is another doctrine of the devil, and whoever preaches, as I said above, he is a disciple of the devil, teaching the contrary of the scriptures. So, brothers and sisters, let us show the devil and his disciples that Jesus came in the flesh with the fallen nature of Adam, that he lived a sinless life, resisted temptation, that through his examples and with the divine power, we also can live a perfect life as Jesus did. Amen.